If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Welcome into the install with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. Buck Rising back with you for another episode. Greg, happy to be getting closer towards the regular season. The playoff picture is starting to shake out, maybe a little more defined, but still certainly in the AFC, things are pretty messy.
I'll leave the playoff picture to you, Buck. I don't usually deal with that. I wait till they tell me who's in and who the opponents are. That's what I wait for. I don't really get involved in, you know, all the permutations and if this team wins and if this team loses and if they score this number of points, you know, that's not really my thing.
Nope. Just like an NFL head coach, focused on the week ahead, focused on the week of work.
Right. We're not
looking ahead on the podcast.
No. We're one day at a time, one play at a time.
My God, it's like being at a Mike Vrabel press conference. There's no question about it. So, Greg, I do, I know that this has been making the rounds across all sports media spectrums, but given that there are so few names that transcend the sport that they are a part of, like John Madden was, given that you, Greg, have one of those names that transcend sports, seriously. I mean, that's 1,000% the case. You know, I wonder, Greg, outside of just the general things that everybody is saying about John today, what you thought of him as an ambassador for football for so many generations across coaching, broadcasting, and people like me who know him from a video game.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is my 42nd season, Buck, at NFL Films, believe it or not. And amazingly enough, I never met John Madden. You know, I think people just assume that I knew him really well. Somebody texted me today to do a radio show and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss." Now, obviously, I'm sad that John Madden passed, but it's not a personal loss like it's a family member, you know, and I never met him. But having said that, obviously, because I've been here for so long, I remember him in all the phases of his football career. I remember him as a head coach. I remember him winning a Super Bowl. I remember when he became a broadcaster. And then I've never played a video game in my life, but you have to live under a rock not to know about, you know, the Madden game.
So I don't mean to, you know, disappoint the audience. I thought Greg and I were going to do a live stream to Twitch match on Madden later. But I guess,
and believe it or not, there was about a 3 or 4, 5, 6 year period where EA Sports actually was the sponsor of the NFL matchup show.
Yeah.
So I've been down to their facility, which was in Florida. I think it still is. They would have EA Sports parties at the Super Bowl, which they may still do. And for years I went to those parties. So, you know, I was very, very aware of John Madden with EA Sports as well. But, and I, in some ways I hate to do this, but the first thing I thought of when I saw that he passed yesterday was how he set the stage in many ways for my career. And again, I'm not trying to make this about me, but he was the first one to really deal with X and O football, but in a way that was totally comfortable, palatable, easy, so people could get it without feeling like they were sitting in a coaching clinic.
Yeah.
And he changed the way the game was presented. He made it really fun, really entertaining. Because you know what, Buck? I'm not John Madden, I don't want people to think that at all. But football's fun. It's a great sport. You know, I sit here and watch tape all day, and it's fun. And he made the whole deal about NFL football fun.
Yeah.
While he was teaching you the game. And, you know, I think that maybe some people lose sight of that just because of his presentation. But he was teaching you the game, but he had so much fun doing it because, you know what? He just loved football. He loved football.
And if you can make it fun for people, it is easy to lose sight of it because of how easy it is to process. And you're so spot on with the way in terms of that he changed the presentation of the sport to set the stage, like you said, for people like you who break down the X's and O's in a way that people love and people incorporate into their day-to-day enjoyment of the game. So I'm glad we got.
No, he was phenomenal. I mean, and the other thing is, people have to remember, he started doing all this before there was you know, Sunday Ticket or Red Zone. So when you heard John Madden's voice, you knew this is a big game. I need to be watching this game because this is a big game. You know, now with Sunday Ticket, Red Zone, you know, people just sit like I do basically and just let all these games roll over you. And sometimes when I'm watching, I say to myself, who's that announcer? I know his voice. I can't quite remember who that is, you know, and then I remember. But, you know, that was not the case in the old days. You know, whatever market you were in, if you lived in an NFL market, you only had three games on.
I refuse to believe that that Twitter wasn't the only way to get football highlights, Greg. I think
that's I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It just washes over me. I've no concept.
I know.
That is like at all. But a really cool and kind of you to say those words. I know the audience is going to appreciate that. So let's talk about the football itself. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Oh, Niners, for sure.
Niners, Titans, it got a lot more fun as the game progressed.
Titans had a little more fun this week, you know, since last Thursday night.
Certainly they did. Jimmy G looked like he was having fun at the start, less so at the end of that game. Greg, the difference that A.J. Brown makes, the intermediate passing game was back, the staple bang play action crosser that they love to run with A.J. back in the offense. It felt like a version of Titans football that we haven't seen in some time.
Yeah, and I was actually a little surprised that the 49ers just kept letting A.J. Brown off the line of scrimmage so easily. Yeah. It was pitch and catch. And I know, obviously, he put up big numbers, but I really thought that this was a Tannehill game because they couldn't really run the ball particularly well in this game. And I thought the difference in the game was third down passing.
Yeah.
And Tannehill was 11 for 13 for 149 yards on third down. And nine of those completions resulted in first downs. And almost all of the big third down completions came versus zone or zone match coverage. So there was no press. They didn't prevent A.J. Brown from getting off the line of scrimmage. Tannehill, when you get to third down, as we've discussed, Buck, numerous times, that's when you have to execute the drop back passing game. That's when the play action is not a factor. When it get, you know, obviously there were some early down play action throws for sure. But when you get to third down, you've got to execute the drop back passing game. And I thought Tannehill really did at a high level. So as important as clearly A.J. Brown is to this offense, I really thought Tannehill played at a high level in this game.
No, it cannot be understated. It makes all the difference in the world for both of them to have competency on either side. I mean, and I thought the protection plan by Todd Downing, certainly in the second half, Greg, given the situation at left tackle, both Taylor Lewan and Kendall Lamb going down day of for Lamb, Dylan Raiden's thrown out there on the left side. I thought the way that they kind of helped him with the ways that they were keeping guys in, the way that they were max protecting, certainly in the second half, it seemed to make a big difference.
They had to, yes, because otherwise they would not have been able to protect because Dylan Raiden's obviously played left tackle. It was his first NFL start at that position. He had an uneven debut. He struggled in pass protection with anchor leverage and strength. That showed up as an issue. We'll see, you know, where his career goes, obviously, but there's no question he needs to play stronger. Yeah. And that may be another offseason, but you're right about the protection. They did a lot of 6 and 7 man protections. They featured some empty sets on third down in the third quarter. And the focus was protection. They did a lot of 7 man protection and chips on the outside to help the offensive tackle. So look, if you don't have protection, you don't have a passing game. It's pretty simple. So you must protect in order to throw the football.
And we're coming up to a game against a defense that has been very effective at getting after the quarterback this year, the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I don't even know, Greg, how much do I take from that Saints game? Because I felt bad for Ian Book. I really did.
You know, I'm just going to make one point here that kind of bothers me. Okay. Not about the Titans, but all I heard was, this game's a national embarrassment. They're starting Ian Book. Ian Book was a 4th round pick. Okay. I guess are the Texans a national embarrassment because they're starting Davis Mills because they're a third and he's a 3rd round pick. So, you know, we need to get off this high horse thing. I mean, Ian Book, by the way, I happen to know people in the Saints organization. They really like Ian Book. Okay. Maybe he'll turn out to be a good player.
Yeah.
I personally did not love his tape. I, because I evaluate, as you know, college players. to me, watching his college tape, and I watched 2 years of it, 2020 and 2019, I thought he was probably an undrafted free agent kind of player. Obviously, the Saints thought far more of him than I, and Sean Payton knows more football than I do. So there's no right or wrong here. They think he has a chance to be a good player. He may not be ready to be a starter. But he played against a defense, by the way, in his first NFL start, now that the Titans are playing Miami, that's a very difficult defense to play against.
Absolutely.
This is a defense that shows you an awful lot of pressure fronts. They can match up and play man-to-man on the outside, both press man and off man. And they play a lot of man. They're one of the highest percentage man coverage defenses in the league. Okay, so you're going to get man. There'll be some good matchups here with A.J. Brown, whether it's Jones or Howard. There are going to be some good matchups here. And they pressure.
Yeah.
And as I said, they'll show you these pressure fronts, and then you've got to work through that. You've got to sort that out. So that's going to be on the offensive line. That's going to be on Tannehill. Vrabel and Downing are going to have to decide this week how they want to handle that, because that's not something you handle in the middle of the second quarter. That's something you practice all week.
Yeah, and Mike Vrabel has a good understanding of Brian Flores, given that they were together, even if it was a short time at the end of Vrabel's career, they understand each other. And Mike Vrabel talked today about how much respect he has for Brian Flores. And quickly, just on the Ian Book thing, I wasn't making that. I wasn't trying to
diminish Ian Book. No, not you personally, but I just, you know, obviously we're all on Twitter because it's part of our business now. And and, you know, I just,
how do we do football without Twitter, Greg? That's what I want to know.
I know. Excuse me. I think I need to be on my cell phone while we're doing this, you know? Yeah. you know, it just, that kind of stuff just aggravates me. I mean, you know, it doesn't, believe me, I don't lose sleep over it, but you know, I just find that stuff amazing. You know, I mean, the guy's a fourth round pick.
No. You know, and 22 players on the COVID list for the Saints. I mean, it's just a totally warped result.
You know,
in that
if
game.
I told you, just to get off subject again, sure, if I gave you the Houston Texans offensive line from left to right the last number of weeks, I would bet, and you follow the league closely, you might know one of them.
Oh, and that's the division that I cover, Greg. Like, right. I may know one of them.
You may know one of them. And the average person wouldn't even know who they'd think, oh my God, who are these people?
Yeah.
You know, so we need to stop that. But anyway, the point is this a difficult defense to play against? And it's a defense that requires a lot of homework during the week. It's a preparation defense. You can't go into this game surprised at anything you're going to get from a pressure standpoint. You can't come away saying, you know, in the second quarter, like I said, saying, wow, I didn't think we'd get that. Or, you know, right, let's look at this pressure. Wow. You know, that's there. You know, they're going to come and they're going to show you pressure looks and they're going to play man to man and they're going to challenge you. And you're going to have to play against that. And I'm not saying they can't beat it. I'm just saying this is a challenging defense to play against.
And I guess, you know, to kind of look at the Dolphins season on the whole, Greg, they're getting, in the same way that you see people diminishing, right, Ian Book for whatever reason on social media, the quarterbacks that the Dolphins have faced in this 7-game win streak are also being looked at with kind of a side eye. When I watch these games, again, untrained eye, I don't take that away. Obviously, Zach Wilson has a lot to learn in his career. Joe Flacco at this stage is a much different guy than he was when he was winning a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. You can nitpick these things if you want to, but there's still 7 straight wins in the NFL.
Yeah, and they haven't played particularly good quarterbacks. That's a fact.
Yeah.
But it's hard to win 7 straight games in the NFL. And they play a certain way. We talked about their defense. On offense, they play a certain way as well. Tua Tagovailoa is a certain kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a timing rhythm player. And this, they found that out last year when Chan Gailey was there. He left. And then they theoretically have 2 offensive coordinators who were both there last year. And they have found out that this is what he is. He's a timing rhythm player. He's decisive within the structure and timing of the pass game. He's very quick on his drop. He's very quick on his set, and the ball comes out. That's what Tua is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you watch their offense and their pass game, it's built on rhythm, quick game throws, 3-step drop timing, 5-step drop timing. He hits his back foot. The ball comes out. He's not a big arm guy. He does not have great movement. He's a pocket player, And they do a really, really good job of defining reads and throws for him so he can play that way. So even against, let's say, man coverage, they do a really good job with their route concepts of creating space. All the pass game is really about finding space. Okay, obviously, if you're playing against zone, you're trying to find space within the zone, right, the voids. If you're playing against man, and you, and what has been said for 100 years versus man, is you want to run away from man coverage, but you don't want to run into people. You want to run to an open area. So they do a great job with their route concept so that if Waddle's going to run a certain route, where he's running to is an open area. You know, if Gesicki's if he's matched up against whoever, that he's going to run to an open area. He's not going to run to another player. So right, they are very, very good at that. And Tua is an accurate passer. His ball placement is consistently precise. So he can make those throws, but that's what he is. He's not a sit in the pocket guy, sit on his back foot, drive the ball 23 yards on a line or a rope. He's not that guy. He can throw the deep ball pretty well because deep balls are not arm strength throws. You know, we've talked about that, I know, numerous times.
Yeah.
Deep balls are not arm strength throws. So Tua is playing efficiently. I didn't do the numbers yet from Monday night, mm-hmm, but in the four games prior to that, and they're a pistol shotgun offense. In the four games prior to Monday, I just didn't do the math yet. 92% of his dropbacks in the four games prior to Monday night had come out of either the shotgun or the pistol.
Yeah.
So he's not an under center player.
Yeah. I know each interception has a story, Greg, and they've done much better as far as team turnover differential is concerned. His interceptions, though, every time I watch him, he just seems, is it just a part of his game where the processing and the elimination isn't quite there yet? He's still kind of getting used to what he's seeing.
He's one of those guys where he can be highly, highly efficient, but then his interceptions look bad, don't they?
That's my main takeaway when I watch him.
I don't know what's in his head, so I can't speak to that.
Sure.
But overall, he's very efficient. The other thing to keep in mind about their offense is they have the lowest percentage of 11 personnel, meaning three wide receivers on the field, of any team since week 11. So it's five starts for two in since week 11.
Right.
They're not an 11 personnel offense. So the question is, what will the Titans do? Will they play out of base, or will they decide they want to play out of nickel? We'll find out. But they are playing a team that does not play with three wide receivers very often at all.
And that'll very much depend on the personnel that's available. Their nickelbacker has been Jayon Brown with this rotation that they're trying to figure out. Zach Cunningham or Sean Evans playing.
Well, actually, the last couple of weeks in nickel, they've played Cunningham and Evans. Brown has only played in dime. So it could be Cunningham and Evans.
Yeah, for sure. And this is they really, really like what they have in Zach Cunningham.
He's a pretty good player.
He seems to be getting more comfortable with it.
He shows up quite a bit.
Player, man.
The other interesting factor here to keep in mind is Cruikshank, because Cruikshank was kind of the matchup against Kittle. And of course, he played in dime, not in nickel. He played in dime.
Did a great job against Travis Kelce. Mike Vrabel kind of talked about that's his role, and he seemed to really embrace it this year.
Now you got Gesicki. So, I would look for that matchup in this game for Cruikshank when they're in – well, the question is, do they – think of it this way. Could this maybe be a little bit of a big nickel game with three safeties? Because if – and I'm just throwing this out. I have no idea what Vrabel and Bowen are thinking, okay? And I could be totally off base. But if they're playing a team that plays 75% of their snaps with two tight ends on the field, okay, which is what they've done since Tua has come back as a full-time starter, do you end up playing with three safeties, Cruikshank being one of them, and matching him up to Gesicki?
Yeah.
Just a thought. I could be totally off base, but it seems as if they've been moving toward him being their tight end matchup.
No, that's something that might
be. It kind of frees up Byer to play with the instincts and savvy that really define his game. Even though he's more than capable, Byer, of matching up to quality tight ends, it just frees him up.
they very much like that three safety look. They don't run it all the time, but with Hooker and with Byard and with Crookshank as the tight end matchup, the problem with Crookshank has just been availability. He hasn't been
he's available now.
He's available now.
Yeah. So just something to look for. Like I said, you know, I don't have a direct line to Coach Vrabel. You know, we haven't discussed this, but it just hit me actually while we were speaking about it.
I saw the light come on. This is why that happens
once in a while, and maybe one out of 10 times it's a meaningful thing. The other nine times it's pointless.
Well, the beautiful thing is, Greg, it's on video, so the people can see it happen in real time on the podcast, and they can see it on the matchup show on Saturday. So, Greg, with elsewhere in the AFC, we talked about how kind of, you know, things are getting a little more defined, but not terribly. Chiefs are still the one seed, and they've got a big game against the Bengals this weekend. Joe Burrow went crazy against the Ravens defense. The Ravens defense, the passing defense, doesn't seem to be overwhelmingly great this season, but Joe Burrow did put it on them. And that collection of skill position players, Greg, that they have to go along with that young quarterback, Cincinnati is a real threat right now.
Do you know that there were snaps in that game in which the Ravens, and again, they're depleted in the secondary. We know that, Buck, but there were snaps in that game in which they doubled and bracketed all three wideouts. So what they did is they rushed three. They matched up to the tight end in the back, man to man. So that makes five guys. And then with they had six more defenders, obviously, making 11, I believe, if my math is correct. They doubled and bracketed the three wideouts on maybe four or five snaps in the game. So what an interesting strategy with the quality of those three wide receivers that the Bengals show you. But this game's a little different. The Chiefs do play man, but the Chiefs play a very high percentage relative to the rest of the league of cover two.
Yeah.
And Tyrann Mathieu is the middle hole defender. And in some ways, like Byard, he has great instincts, great savvy, great awareness. And one thing the Chiefs do that Steve Spagnuolo does exceptionally well is he'll get to cover two with a lot of disguise and late movement. So I think Joe Burrow is really quick with what he sees, but still he's going to have to decipher some things after the snap of the ball. But he's very good at managing the pocket. His pocket movement is outstanding. He can lengthen plays without necessarily running out of the pocket because he manages the pocket so effectively.
He's going to have a tough test against this. I mean, they seem to get better and better every week, the Chiefs defense.
His whole line is not particularly good in one-on-one pass protection, and he's facing a very good D-line that can win one-on-one matchups.
The only quarterback who's been sacked as many times as Joe Burrow is Ryan Tannehill this season. So both of them dealing with different kinds of
problems. Now, just a quick question. Who's back for the Titans this week on the O-line?
Lawan and Saffold are expected to be available. Taylor cleared COVID protocol today. He practiced.
Oh, and he's fine because he can't be. Now he has 90 days.
Yep, he's there. They should be ready to rock. And Nate Davis is still in the. We'll see where he is. Bud Dupree and Julio Jones as well. Those are the four or three big players. Danico Autry. There's six of them.
Danico Autry's on the COVID list
yesterday. So in theory, based on the new protocol, he should be available on Sunday.
Yeah. He has to clear it obviously, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll make this game a lot more interesting
as far as this is a very fascinating game. You know, I know a lot of people will look at the Miami and say they haven't played anybody, and you know what? Yes, they haven't relative to records, but they're still not an easy defensively in particular. They're not an easy defense to play against.
No, and what they've done is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. Only one NFL team, they're the only NFL team in history to lose seven games and then win seven games right after.
You know, by the way, I just want to mention one play that I thought was a really good play by Tannehill.
Sure.
And it may, in the overall scheme of things, because it happened on the first third quarter possession, which didn't seem super, super important at the time.
Okay.
I thought when he hit Westbrook Ahene for 24 yards on third and 15, do you remember the play?
Absolutely.
You know, he stuck it on him between the hashes on an intermediate sit route in a really tight window. And actually they were in an empty set, and you talked about protection.
Yeah.
They were in an empty set with no backs and two tight ends and three wide receivers, and they kept both tight ends into block. So it was a seven-man protection. So only three receivers went out, and the 49ers were playing cover three. So if you're sending three receivers out there's not a lot of voids when they have seven defenders in cover three. And he made a great throw right in the middle of the field between the hashes. I thought that was a really big time throw on third and long. He was secure in the pocket. You know, so there's an example where I made the point that, yes, A.J. Brown is critical. We all know that. But I thought Tannehill was really the bigger factor with his third down throwing in that game.
Yeah, you know, like you say all the time, Greg, we can't, we're not in their head. So we have no idea what they're thinking in the moment. But my God, did he look confident out there? He's throwing lasers on some of the passes.
And he's got a good arm. He's always had a good arm. That's never been an issue.
We'll see how it plays out. Greg, the matchup show, what's the schedule look like this weekend? I assume Bengals Chiefs is going to be on there.
Yeah, as is Titans Dolphins, actually. So, so it'll be, it should be a good show. There are some big, look, the games are crazy, you know. Obviously, we've been affected like everybody with COVID because we have to do our editing starting literally Tuesday when, you know, and then so if we do a piece and somebody goes on COVID Thursday night, it, you know, it's one of those things.
Makes life a little harder.
Yeah. But the point is, we've got some big games, you know, now going down the stretch. You got Philly, Washington, your game, Chiefs, Bengals, very big game. I'm trying to think of the others, you know, just because there's so many, it's not on the top of my head, but you know, there's obviously games with playoff ramifications. Like I'll give you a perfect example of how COVID affected us this week. Mm. And he may or he may not. We were going to do Colts Raiders and actually do a piece on the Colts passing game I've done like four pieces already this year on Jonathan Taylor. And we don't like to do the same thing every week, you know? So we were going to do the Colts passing game and we said, you know what? We really can't do that because when we shoot our show, it's not live, as I'm sure people know. We shoot it on Friday. Yeah. So Carson Wentz could clear Sunday morning. He could well clear. But, you know, we can't take that chance.
No. And so the matchup show, though, will always be well produced. It's going to be a great watch. Make sure you set your DVRs because there's so many big games coming up this weekend. And Greg, Sal Pal, Matt Bowen, they're going to make sure that you have the best knowledge heading into that weekend's games. Greg, I appreciate the time. As always, this has been fun to do this year. I know we're going to continue it into the new year. And if I don't talk to you before then, buddy, I appreciate you spending some time. Happy New Year's to you.
Buck, same to you. And hey, I hope we had fun like John Madden would have liked, you know?
I think we had a good time with it, Greg. I think we did. And I'm sure, and I know everybody does. And if you had fun, you know how you can do it. You know how you can pay Greg off. You can leave him a 5-star review. The final Uber rating of the year for the Install Podcast. And then you can do it again in 2022.
There you go.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Buck.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.